Hello, everybody. This is Salil Tripathi from the Institute for Human Rights and Business. And I'm here in India, in New Delhi, for the Oxfam Learning Lab project. And I'm speaking to Stephen Ecker, who has been working for several years in Assam, in northeast India, with workers in tea estates of that region. And of course, India is one of the largest producers of tea. And we will be talking about the situation on the ground there. So welcome to IHRB, Stephen.
Thank you so much, Salil.
My first question is, tell me about your organization and its lovely meaning.
Our organization's name is Pajra, and in our own language, Adivasi language, it is spring, from where water begins to sprout.
Tell me about the context in which tea workers work in Assam. You were speaking earlier this morning about the issues of wage, but can you describe the situation in a few words?
Okay, now, tea plantations are huge stretches of land with tea, and the workers that live there are in the labor habitation areas, where in population of 2,000, 3,000, they are in a settlement within. And these tea plantations are far away from the normal villages in Assam. So there is a lot of seclusion of labor within the plantation.
And these workers, you said, have come from other parts of India.
That's right.
They're not local to the region.
No. Mm-hmm. Actually, when tea was started by the British tea company, the East India, in 1841 and all, they needed a lot of workers to work in those tea plantations. And the local people were not ready to work for different reasons. So they transported huge number of Adivasis from central part of India, and that is the population.
Adivasis are, of course, the indigenous people of India.
That's right. Now the population of tea workers within the tea plantation is about 3 million and outside another 3 million people who at one time worked in the tea plantations, and they have moved out to the villages.
And what is a typical work day like? Do they work regular hours, or how does it work?
Yes, they work regular hours. So they are given 6 days a week work. Mm-hmm. And the work typically begins at about 7 o'clock.
In the morning.
Though plantation calls it 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So for 8 hours they work. And plucking is a major work. And because it is a long stretches of land from the labor habitation areas, the women particularly, they have to walk sometimes for 1 or 2 or 3 kilometers away to the plucking area.
And you were saying that there are more women than men who are working in the industry.
Yeah, more than 55% of the workers are women.
And they are paid the same as men?
Yes, they are paid same as the men, but the wage is very low, even below the minimum wage.
So how much is it per day?
Today, per day wage is 167.
167 rupees per day.
Per day, that's
which would be roughly about $2.50 or
that? Yeah. Less than $2.50.
Less than $2.50 a day, right. And what would be the minimum wage in the area? What is the living wage in the area?
Living wage in the area would be something like 350.
So they are getting about 60% of what they should be getting, 60 to 65% of what they should be getting.
Right.
So how are they, I mean, who are their targets? I mean, are they organized? Is there a union?
Well, there is a union, and interestingly, the union was promoted by the companies themselves at one time, and they are totally under the control of the companies.
So it's not independent?
Not at all independent. And in fact, people do not have a choice to join which union. There is just one single union, and at one time, their membership was deducted at source.
Mm-hmm.
Only from last year onwards, because of a lot of external pressure, they are taking membership fee from the people. But even there are tea gardens today where it is deducted at source. So there is no freedom. Yeah.
So how do you operate, given that you can't form a union? How do you help the community there?
So that's one reason why people are totally suppressed. And also because they do not have their own house, they live inside, there is a lot of control. Well, the workers are totally left at the mercy of the management and the union. And now, particularly in last 5-10 years, civil society organizations have gone inside to work. And these civil society organizations are mostly of those organizations who members are from the same community.
Mm-hmm.
So accessibility has become easier to one extent now. And we have begun organizing the tea workers. In Assam, we also have the student organization, the youth platform. Similarly, the women platform, whom we are promoting. So they are able to have access. They have some members inside, and that has been easier.
You have been engaging with companies, right, to improve the situation? Or are they receptive to your appeals?
Well, no. We have very lately started direct engagement. Earlier, we have been working through the people's organizations. From 2013 onwards, we have been engaged with particularly one large tea company. They have not been very receptive. We sat for a kind of negotiation and it failed. So later, there has not been any kind of discussion as such. Mm-hmm. And that company and also the other companies later have been obstructing us and people like us to go and work inside, because there is freedom of association inside, yes, and people are not allowed to meet outsiders, and that makes it very difficult for us.
So is the main issue of wage, or are there other large issues involved here?
There are other issues.
Such as
health is a major issue, uh-huh, and the education, and also living and working conditions. All these are major issues.
And what about the gender dimension? Is there any violence against women?
Well, the violence has not been very open, but there is violence against women. For example, women are abused, and there are a lot of kind of suppression of the women. There had been also a couple of sexual harassment cases. So that is there.
And is there good redress? I mean, if somebody were to bring a complaint, what is the mechanism there?
There is no redressal mechanism. Uh-huh. So the company gives one labor officer, they call it welfare officer, but it is he or she is paid by the company. So this person is unable to do anything as welfare of the workers. Mm-hmm. That person is supposed to look at the repair of the houses, water supply. But even if there is some budget given for that work, ultimately management uses for some other work. So this person is supposed to take any complaint if there is, but complaints are taken, written down, and there is no redressal mechanism.
So the international framework now expects, yes, companies to respect human rights and by that do no harm and to ensure that the rights are protected. Mm-hmm. Now, given that India is such a large tea exporter, its major markets are in Europe, United States, Japan, places, I mean, many parts of the world where the tea does go. So what would you expect, let's say a British buying company or a German buying company which buys tea from India and from Assam, what would you want them to do?
First part, I think they do not know the ground realities. Mm-hmm. And whatever mechanisms they have of getting informations, they do not seem to provide the right kind of information. Mm-hmm. These companies and the brands must give them the just wage, first, mm-hmm, of all. Secondly, they should also give such kind of price which actually trickles down to the workers. Mm-hmm. They get good wage and they are able to take care of their health, education, and all that is required.
And are you optimistic? I mean, have you been lobbying? Have you been speaking? I know you've been working with Tradecraft and the International Corporate Accountability, Accountable International. So have they been receptive to you?
We have so far used two means. One, mm-hmm, is the complaint mechanism that is, mm-hmm, available with the World Bank.
This is the IFC's ombudsman facility, yes.
Very true. And that has been very specifically with one company, the major company, the Tatas, who have share in some 25 tea gardens in Assam and West Bengal.
And I believe they're also abroad. I think they're also in Kenya.
They are also in other countries, yes, as well, yeah. So in that process, it has not at all been very successful. Well, the complaint mechanism did bring up the issue to the forefront. The World Bank's ombudsman, they came up with report which corroborated the complaint that we had filed. But unfortunately, IFC has not done the kind of work they should have for rectifying the holding APPL responsible for what has not happened.
Right.
There has been a lot of human rights violation, and that has not been taken care of.
Right. And within the Indian system, have you tried the Indian court system?
In the court system, we had tried as far as the wage was concerned. And we did apply a lot of pressure to the government. Government formed a wage advisory committee to come up with the right kind of wage. But the companies took that to the court. the wage that was proposed by the government as per the minimum wage.
Right.
The companies took it to the court, and in that we did something in the court, like following it up, applying it, but it has not been successful.
Stephen, I had one more question, which is about working conditions. I believe there are issues such as exposure to chemicals and pesticides. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yes, yes. So a lot of pesticides and chemicals are used in this because also of the situation in Assam, the moisture and all that. Now the workers have to spray without any protective gear, and that has effect on their health. Like they have skin rashes, they lose appetite, they do not eat. And all these workers, they are supposed to be having a lot of shifts, but for years they continue doing the spray. And many of them have TB, and a lot of health hazards are there.
And is there good medical care for that?
No, no good medical care.
So they are reliant on government, or are the company's doctors?
Company's doctors. And as per the Plantation Labor Act, they should be having three-monthly kind of test of their health. In some cases, some tea plantations do have test, but no result is given to them. So this, there is a lot of
lack of transparency as well. Yeah. And tell me about schooling. I believe there are schools, but there are concerns about that, right? They study only up to a particular age.
That's right. As per the Plantation Labor Act, they are supposed to provide primary education
for the children of
the children of the workers. And they have schools in tea plantations where children are there always 100 to 200 or even more, and there are
per classroom
per school, and there is no separate classroom. There are two teachers maximum, or sometimes even just one teacher,
right?
And except for tending them for 3-4 hours, they cannot really do any.
So it's a babysitting exercise.
Babysitting, basically.
Yes, not
basically
a school, really.
Right,
right.
And the teachers are kind of part-time. Like after the school is over at about 12 or 1, then they go back to the plantation to work in the office or something like that.
Teachers also?
Teachers also.
So they're not trained teachers?
They are not trained, and they are employed by the company.
Right.
So company tries to make use of their service
for other jobs.
The rest of the day.
Okay, thank you. Well, it's a tough environment, and I think you're doing a phenomenal work, and just wanted to wish you all the best, and hope that you have better outcomes in future.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much indeed.